and shine. College football is here. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squidbill. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson, she is the First Lady of Atlanta Baseball, the Queen of Tofu, the leader of a two-man army, Miss Allie Mack. And back there pushing buttons randomly, we've got the Dylon Dylan Matthews and his taped-up car. Good morning. It's here, guys. Football season is here. We had football games last night. Georgia Tech plays tonight in Colorado on the road.
Oh, I can feel it in
my veins. Tomorrow at noon, there is a plethora of games, starting with Ohio State and Texas, which I believe you can hear right here, if I'm not mistaken, on Sports Radio 92.9. The game starting at 11:30. And our college football coverage starts at, what, 8 tomorrow, Dylan, with Garrett Fricke. Abe Gordon.
And Garrett Chapman.
I said
oh, you did Garrett. My bad.
You want to make sure Garrett
and Chris
gets
Goforth.
His
That's Chris right. Goforth was the one I was trying to get to before. But thank you.
It's 6:04 in the morning. My brain's still loading up.
Oh, I can tell. We all are. Trust me. I'm loading as well.
3-day
but
weekend
yeah,
coming up, baby.
It's here. I mean, I am so excited. We already got plans. Like, as I say, we already got plans, like, as in we're already getting head counts. I think I'm not doing one meet, not two meet.
I think I'm
going three meets.
Like a three-peat, but a three-meet?
Yeah, I think we're doing
what, three separate days or all on the same day?
All on the same day,
wow.
Baby.
Wow. Okay, so this is not like a Saturday, Sunday, Monday three-meat.
No.
This is like a breakfast, lunch, dinner three-meat.
No,
yeah,
we'll, no,
big
no.
Pause
what
right
we're gonna,
here. Hey, yo. Just.
What we're going to do is you're going to have your pick of meat. You can get a little pork. You can get a little steak. You can get like a chuck roast, you know, pulled chuck roast. We're going to do tacos, right? And then you can, you know, eat meat throughout the weekend.
It's Meat Fest at the Morgans. Mm.
That's right. Mm. And there's only going to be like four of us, so
all
it's right. Going to be.
All right. Just like Dylon said.
Well, Mexican
right.
Sausage all is good for everybody.
Yeah.
It really is.
What a statement there.
No, man, I felt it last night watching Cincinnati-Nebraska, which is a really, really good game. And then, you know, obviously South Florida just routing Boise State. Little
surprise.
Top 25 win. Yeah.
Good. They're out. Now we don't have to hear about them anymore.
Well, yeah, they
they're
are
out. Bye. That's no, a, that's toodles.
Canceled. You know, Bama played South Florida last year and almost, like, went into the fourth quarter, like, almost tied. And I was like, that's a good squad. And they put it back together last night. They ran the fake punt like the first or second quarter, and then it was off to the races. So, man, I was already feeling it flowing last night. I was like, yes, dude, we are here. We have finally made it.
You know, Florida plays them next weekend.
South Florida?
Yeah.
That's a dangerous game, man. It's a dangerous game for all parties involved.
That's what – now that game – see, now this, they don't play anybody the first 2 weeks, but then it gets tough. Now it looks tough after this weekend. Because you're like, you play South Florida at home, then you go to Baton Rouge and then in Coral Gables, yeah. Like in back-to-back weeks, it looks infinitely tougher right off the bat after what they did to – but look, we got to remember that Boise is kind of living off last year's success to an extent, and we really didn't know what they were going to be this year.
Yeah.
They lost one of the best players in the country. This is what I love doing, talking college football. And we're just in it already.
I was going to say, we're 6-6, so I'm not going to give anything away with all the stuff that you're saying about schedules and everything like that, because we got plenty of time.
Mike and I have talked about when we do pregame, Allie, and I've told him, I don't know if I've told this on the air, but I know I've told him off the air, like, when I sit down to do pregame, I panic. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I've studied.
I didn't do any research.
I didn't do anything. And then I realized that I talk about this 24-7 with the Falcons, right? Well, I was having that when I went down to fill my water bottle up. I was like, I'm not ready to talk college football. Like, I don't know anything about any of these teams. And then you realize you follow these teams for like 30-something years, mm-hmm. mostly. Players leave and go, or leave and come and leave, you know, whatever. But like the generality is pretty much the same. Boise is always good, but not great, right? Maybe they're not good this year. They've lost guys. You fall back on knowledge that you have, and you're like, I don't even realize I knew that.
Allie, was it a bad sign that Taylor was not with Travis last night at the Cincinnati-Nebraska game? I see he was up there with Patty Mack.
I thought she was.
I don't know.
I saw a report that she was there.
I thought she was there, though. I thought I saw footage of it.
I was watching, and I was, like, putting the kids down, and I just saw Travis, and I saw Pat Mahomes, and I was like, oh, good for them, man. Guys night. And I saw Trey Smith in the background, which he never gets his name put under there. He's, like, the highest-paid guard in the league, but, of course, he doesn't get the – you know, the name thrown out on the broadcast.
I have a question. Anybody can answer because this is the first thing. But it was Cincinnati versus Nebraska. Dylan Raiola is literally a like the Michael Jackson impersonator or the Patrick Mahomes, like the that for Patrick Mahomes, right? You think they're like making fun of him, like when he comes out on the field, like, dude, hey, that's your twin out there.
For sure.
Like, do you think they're talking 100%. Trash? Because I know Patrick Mahomes and them are supposedly buddies, but yeah. Like, you think they're like, hey, there's your twin.
I love how they show on TV too when there's 7 minutes left in the game and Patrick Mahomes is leaving. Like, they're like, oh man, he's not gonna get to see Raiola, you know, his buddy Raiola, and the first win. It's like, he doesn't care. Kids at home probably got to go relieve the babysitter.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
You're not gonna watch Mini Me?
Oh, dude, I got a babysitter this weekend. I'm so stoked.
For what?
So good.
Are y'all going out?
We're going to dinner on Sunday night. Oh. So stoked, man. Mm. Got to make it happen.
So you're gonna miss the race?
It is Sunday night, isn't it? Yeah, we'll go somewhere. I can catch up. First round of the playoffs.
Well, yeah, I just got the you call me outlook. Thanks a lot.
No, I'm like, it is what it is, man. It's so needed after the August that we have all had. My wife's had a crazy, crazy, crazy August as school's gotten started and kids have been crazy. So much needed, man. You know what I mean? I'll finish August and start September with a bang.
Well, we have been extremely busy just bouncing around here and there. You know how I can tell college football is here? I've been here about 4 months now. I believe this is the first time I've not seen Bo in, like, professional sportswear. Like, it's Florida today. But it's always been Braves or Falcons pretty much every single day. And we've switched it out for the day.
Yeah, this is, like, normally wear your college colors day. There's a name for it, but I don't know what it's called. Maybe that's it.
Like
so
Team
I was,
Spirit Day?
Yeah, something like that. So I was like, oh, where are my little thin Florida hoodie? Let's go. it's normally Falcons, Braves, mixing a little Hawks and United here and there. And went Gator gear today.
I would say 9 out of 10 times I'm usually in a NASCAR shirt of some sort.
You are?
9 out of 10 times.
You are.
My wife asked me if I was subscribed to him. She was like, do you just have a subscription? Like every two weeks you just get a new shirt in? Like, is it just one of those things you just sign up for, like a box service? I was like, nah, I just, you know, sometimes you got to search for the right fit. It is what it is.
Well, to celebrate all the college football today at 6:40 today, I have a wonderful game that we're going to play called Tailgate Truth or Lie. And then coming up at 8:20, we have college football analyst for the ACC Network and ESPN, Eric McLean, will join us. Again, that's at 8:20. We do need to discuss some changes that happened with the Falcons yesterday. They signed safety Jordan Fuller to the active roster and placed edge Braylon Trice on short-term reserve, the injured list, which that just breaks your heart there. And then the Falcons have officially signed Ryan Hayes and Carter Warren to their practice squad.
It was an interesting pressure yesterday. I watched Raheem's, and I think you watched it this morning. I was watching yesterday, and you know, a lot of questions about the offensive line position, a few questions about the safety spot. And next to nothing about Braylon Trice. And I was glued to it going, can somebody ask him about Braylon Trice?
Right.
For the love, what happened to our guy Braylon Trice? We had, obviously, the three of us had a chance to catch up with him just a few weeks ago. You know, coming off the injury, seems to be in a good mental space.
Got a baby on the way.
Like, feeling so good about what he's been able to do. And we were all glued to him as he takes the field for his first preseason game and blows up the lead blocker and, you know, makes this play. And we're like, yes! And then this news yesterday is so deflating, man, because it just stinks. And unfortunately, I've been there. It's awful. It's an awful feeling, specifically in the situation that he's in. So hoping the best for Braylon Trice. But obviously, finding that fourth safety was something we talked about yesterday.
Yeah. Hopefully this is just a little aggravation and he's going to get cleaned up. It happens. Could be a meniscus. You know, we really don't know. Could have been something that he got fixed as far as the ACL. So hopefully he gets back. I kind of heard rumblings about that. And then, you know, Jordan Fuller back, which is good. They got another veteran presence back there to kind of help in that room. And, you know, the right tackle situation was talked about, obviously, by Ra. And I thought that was interesting where he just kind of said, look, Wilkinson's our guy, but these other guys are going to compete basically for that backup. And then he's asked about Bergeron, and he's like, well, yeah, he's an emergency situation. And I thought Raheem, for as much as he gets criticized for not saying anything, they did a really good job explaining the only way Bergeron will play is if they have injuries happen at right tackle, and then there's not an extra, you know, a guy up, right? And so maybe if Wilkinson went out and then whoever your swing is at the time goes down, then, yeah, they could move Bergeron, but you don't want to weaken it. Talked about the blind side, which is not really a thing anymore.
I keep cracking up, man. Everybody keeps trying to go to the well with the whole blind side.
You know what the funniest thing for me was is I was listening to Carl and Mike, and it was – and I get in the truck, and I got a haircut. I get in the truck. I'm going to get pork chop. And I hear Mike go, you know, it's a blind side for a reason. They still call it that for a reason. And we gotta take care of it. Let's hear – Carl goes, let's hear from Raheem. And Raheem's like, yeah, you know, the blind sides aren't really a thing anymore. It's not like it used to be. It's not like Joe Montana's back there dropping back 40 times. You know, you're in the shotgun. You're in the pistol. And so you kind of got – you don't really – you never – you have that feel, but you're the way you're lined up, you never really have your back to that side. And I'm like –
Where have I heard this before?
I'm like, what? I saw you, but then I hear, damn, did Orton mean to play that? Because like that's like not good right now. And I text Carl and I was like, dude, you didn't tell your boy you were thrown to that audio. But it's funny because that's such a thing, Allie, and it's not.
Yeah, I heard that presser too, and when I was listening to Raheem say that, I was like, am I listening to Raheem Morris right now, or am I hearing Mike Johnson explain blindside right now?
It just cracks you up. And every single, you know, when Caleb McGarry goes down, every single media outlet, the blindside protector for Michael Penix, because he's left-handed, is Caleb McGarry, and he's gone down. It's like, just like, what are we doing? Either getting whooped at tackle or you're not. You know what I mean? Like, once every... you know, once every six games, maybe it's a thing that you don't see a guy coming. But, I mean, it's just not what people make it out to be.
Yeah, and as soon as Micah Parsons is traded yesterday, which I know we're going to get to,
ooh-wee.
I got people saying, see, if the best defensive player can be traded, why can't we go get a start right tackle? I'm like, what right tackles are holding out, guys?
The name you should focus on in that is Lucas Van Ness, okay? We don't have Lucas Van Ness at right tackle. Lucas Van Ness is on a rookie contract. We're paying ours $15 million, yeah, whether he's here or not.
Well, coming up, we are going to be handing out some SEC superlatives. Who is the newcomer of the year? That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
Yes, we are. The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Allie Mack, Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan hanging out behind the glass. And we do have some SEC superlatives to hand out in a moment. But can I just remind you guys of a fair or foul question from last week?
Okay.
Fair or foul? We will see Micah Parsons playing week one in a Cowboys jersey.
Wow.
What'd you guys say?
We both said fair. I would guarantee you. Guarantee you.
You know, and I didn't really have a feeling on it until I watched the series on Netflix about the Dallas Cowboys, and I got to know Jerry Jones very well.
Do you get the Charles Haley moment?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Micah Parsons pulled a Charles Haley. I don't know.
But
let me tell you something. That's not the only time Charles Haley's been reported that he's pulled that out in an office. He apparently was notorious for that in meetings.
It was more so the Jimmy Johnson scuffle that I was like, you know, I could see this not working out for Micah.
Real quick, before we get to SEC's prelims, I have a question around the Micah Parsons thing. Do y'all think, I mean, why was Jerry so against talking to the agent? Because that seemed like that was the breaking point in all this, right? The fact that he wouldn't negotiate with the agent, right?
He felt betrayed. That this is the way I've taken it, that he felt like that him and Micah, right or wrong, in you know, illegal or not, based on the CBA rules, that they'd hashed it out and that the agent should have just drawn it up the way they negotiated it, but then the agent wanted to change it. And, dude, I mean, and now this agent, David Mulugeta, or whatever his name is, like, he's got a few clients. So it's now one where it's kind of like with the Braves and Scott Boras.
So I think if you've followed Jerry Jones, you've gotten to know him a little bit. You know, he's a very proud man. And so he's just going to dig his heels in on something that he feels strongly about. So now Micah will be going to the Green Bay Packers for two first-round picks and defensive tackle Kenny Clark. Dallas fans in general have had it rough. I mean, they lost Luka. Now they've got Micah. And Micah's going to get a four-year, $188 million deal.
Which one of those guys is a better player in his sport? Which one of those guys means more to their league?
Here's the thing. I just don't it's hard to compare because in basketball, one elite player can truly change your team's path, right? Sure. An elite player can make you a top three or four team in the league where you can go, you know, deep into a playoff run. How many playoff games have the Cowboys won with Micah Parsons?
None. And here's the thing. I think the consensus is going to be that most people are going to hate on Jerry Jones for this today. I don't blame him. I don't necessarily blame him. He's had this group of three players that have taken up half of his salary cap, or that were about to take up half of his salary cap. He's had him for 3 years. What, 4 years? Like, it's not. It's not like he, you know, was trying to keep some kind of Super Bowl winning core intact here.
Here's the problem for me. It's bad business all the way around. It might be a bad decision as far as making the trade, but you could have done this before the draft. You could have saved face. You wouldn't have had this, you know, this hanging over the franchise for this entire time. You could have got a player this year in the draft, right? And that could have been one of the draft picks. It could have been done before now, and it would have worked out way better for everyone involved, and it would have looked better. That doesn't mean I don't disagree with what you're saying. They've never won a playoff game with Micah Parsons. Now he was going to get, like, he's looking at $47 million a year. I don't know how you operate. I mean, I know the cap's going up. That's a ton of money.
That's half. If he'd have gotten that money from the Cowboys, that's half their salary cap wrapped up in three players, which is crazy. Crazy, specifically when you add in Trevon Diggs, who's the fourth. That's just nuts.
With this news breaking that Micah was traded, obviously conversations were going on. And there was that moment at that preseason game where someone asked Micah if he would come to Atlanta. He said, call me.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that Terry and Raheem, even for a moment, no, they probably had some inkling that conversations were going on about a trade. Is there any chance? Is there any chance they talked about it?
I would have to assume. I hope so.
Well, yeah, you talk about everybody that's available. Hey, how would this look for us?
Yeah.
And probably they called. They probably made it. I mean, I would assume that they had talked. I'd like to think that they had inquired early on in this process, like during free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys, no, we're not moving on. Okay. All right. I bet Dallas called. I mean, there's a chance Dallas called them.
Yeah.
But then again, what compensation is Dallas want? They wanted a player. So what player would they take that would be a Kenny Clark type player? I mean, and then you look at, they got two first round picks. Well, that had to wait a year.
Yeah, we don't have the compensation for that.
Yeah, I don't think we have the compensation, and I don't think we have the money.
Right.
I know people say, well, you can make the money work. You're right. You can make the money work. But it, you do free up with Kirk Cousins. It's a harder trade for Atlanta to make because of the draft picks that they don't have.
It was shocking, nonetheless, when all of that broke yesterday. I could not believe it. But nonetheless, we got to move on to the SEC. We're going to be handing out superlatives throughout the show today. I think we have time for one or two maybe right now. Let's start with newcomer of the year. Of all the teams, of all the coaches, of all the players, who's the newcomer of the year?
Well, the easy answer is Arch Manning, right? That's the obvious. Well, sure. But I'm gonna go to one. I know if Abe Gordon's on his run or whatever, he's going to be smiling from here. I'm going to Oklahoma's John Mateer.
Yep.
Because, look, he comes in highly touted. Oklahoma has one of the best. They had one of the best defenses last year. Their offense was, I'll just say it, they were pathetic, Mike. They had injuries across the offensive line. They couldn't get consistent quarterback play. I think the wide receiver depth was an issue last year, if I'm not mistaken. So now you go to Oklahoma and, like, okay, you get the signal caller with that kind of defense. Venables has what he wants defensively. He's already had a bad year, a good year, and a bad year. Now if he truly got the signal caller right, they're in for a big year.
Yeah, I had John Mateer written down as one of my options as well. I think you're right. You know, not only do you bring over him, but you bring over that offense coordinator, Arbuckle, I believe it is, that was with him at Washington State. It's a top 15 offense. I think he's going to come in and light it up. I had a stat for John Mateer that he was the number one quarterback in the country last year. Everybody thinks of, like, looks at his passing stats. Number one quarterback in the country last year, missed tackles, forcing missed tackles. Just insane the athleticism he brings, fits right into that system. Again, the system is coming with him, so it's not something he's learning. It's very much kind of like Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt, like just installing the same system with the quarterback coming along. So I think that's a good one. I went with Elo Madozi, the Army transfer that's at Georgia, the edge rusher.
Yeah, it's a good
dude,
one.
Dude, I've watched tape on this guy from Army. He's a third-year player. It was a freshman back in 2023. He's 250, 6'4", 6'5". He fits perfectly what I think they need down there defensively, and you know he's going to get coached up to the absolute tippy top of his strengths. I think he is going to be an absolute terror in the backfield for a lot of these opposing coaches and offenses that go against Georgia this year.
Can I touch on another one real quick that's really outside of the box? Ryan Grubb.
It's a good one.
That's the OC at Alabama, for those that might not be familiar. Ty Simpson, and it's weird calling Arch Manning a newcomer. That's why I was like, that's kind of an obvious, but I'm not going to go.
Sure.
But Ryan Grubb could step in, and him and Kalen DeBoer could be so in sync, and Ty Simpson could fit more of what they want to do so much that you're going to hear Ryan this is best case scenario if you're an Alabama fan, but you could get into the year and say, well, it's great we had Ryan Grubb for 1 year because he's gone now because he's going to be a head coach.
I think it's a great point, and I just from listening to people in the Alabama circle, it's not even about his system. It's kind of about the demeanor he brings because he's kind of the mean guy to Kalen DeBoer's nice guy act. Like, he's just been chewing guys out at practice and, you know, yelling a lot and things like that. It's way more animated. And since he got a bonus pick, can I give one too?
Go for it.
How about our guy Singleton that transferred from Georgia Tech to Auburn this year? Eric Singleton.
Yeah.
He is absolutely electric. I thought it was a massive loss for Georgia Tech. I mean, I would think, and not that we don't think highly of Georgia Tech right now in this room. We've been talking about it for about a month now. But I think in terms of just losing his athleticism, his output, and getting installed into a system that should be pretty friendly for him, Ken Coleman on the other side and a pretty good offensive line, I think that he's one of those guys that can really uplift Auburn this year and do some really, really good things inside of that offense. So I think he's terrifying in a lot of different ways. And I hate that he's not at Georgia Tech and at Auburn because I'll be pulling for Georgia Tech all year. And obviously Auburn is not my best friend. So it kind of is what it is.
Well, our next superlative is kind of like a big, broad question. So I just want to get you guys to start thinking about it. And we don't have to land on anything right now. But which team would blow up the SEC with one upset?
I'm glad we have, you know, just a few seconds to talk about this because the process I went through to try to find this, like there's only a finite amount of opportunities to actually blow up the SEC, right? And I know that there's a bunch of categories. We'll kind of chop it throughout the year. But like you start looking at, okay, what team could actually pull off a win like this? But what team is not like actually at the top right now? You know, that we're not going to blow it up with one win. So the process to actually get to the top of that one, as I'm doing my research, it was kind of like you have to find specific situations in specific categories for that.
Yeah, the blow it up thing, it's really hard because you want to go with an obvious like Vanderbilt or something like that. But what I did was I kind of went different. I was looking at what team has one of the harder schedules that they could completely change who's in the championship game with one win.
That's what I did. And I hope we don't have the same one. This is going to stink if we have the same one.
I mean,
exactly what I thought of it as.
Because
which team could knock somebody else out and with the same win put themselves into that conversation? That's exactly how
Yeah, well, you could you really could go with about three or four teams.
Yeah, there's some out there.
Well, at 7 a.m., we're going to pick this back up. We're going to be lining up SEC head coaches as well. With bachelorette contest, the stereotypical guys you see on that show.
So good.
But coming up next, you felt that little crisp twinge in the air today. That means it is time for college football. We've got your preview on the way, plus my Allie Mac drop. We're going to play Tailgate, Truth or Lie. That's next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
Yes, we are The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mac with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Lots of college football happening this weekend for week one. We've got Texas, Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, Notre Dame, Miami, Marshall at Georgia, and Alabama, Florida State, Georgia Tech at Colorado tonight, sans Ralphie.
Yeah, sad deal.
Sad deal. Is that going to be appointment watching for you guys tonight?
Absolutely. I'm locked in. I'm going to be locked in on that game. I think it's a really fun way to start the season. I'm glad it's on a Friday. You know, I don't. It's a game that I think a lot of people like to watch, and it won't get lost in the shuffle of all the craziness going on Saturday. And I think it's imperative for both of these teams to get off the ground on the right foot to start the year. So I will be glued tonight when that game comes on.
Yeah, they did this a few years ago. Tech played. It was actually here in Atlanta. They played. I don't even know who they played, but I remember they played. It was the ACC opponent, I think. They played in the stadium, and it was like the opening weekend. It was like a Friday night, I think.
Yeah. Was it UNC or something like that?
No, it wasn't UNC. I don't know. It's not important, but yeah, I love it. I love Tech. I like the best thing for me is, and I think Tech fans probably hear this and go, I can see this. Sometimes they get lost in the shuffle of games. Like, you're like, where can I find the Tech game? It's like on a noon on, like, you know, the FanDuel or something. You know, yeah. You're just like, you can't find it on the Saturday. So being a Friday night, there's obviously a lot of eyes on this game because of who it is, being with Deion.
Sure.
So this is a chance for Tech to get noticed. I think Tech can make a statement. They're a 4.5-point favorite on the road, which means they're about Vegas thinks they're really a touchdown favorite. Go out there and show something. Like, kind of make the nation recognize, hey, we're here.
I just love these games that are non-conference but are home and away. I love all we watch, and we talked about, you know, Boise going to South Florida last night. How about Auburn headed to Waco, Texas tonight as well? Like, what a random game to sign up for. And you're also, I think you have Mississippi State at Hattiesburg. Maybe if that's not this weekend, it's really, really soon. There's just some crazy ones when you talk about those non-conference home and away opponents. I'll have the two TV system going tonight. I'll probably have Auburn and Baylor on the side one, but I'll have the sound up on the old Georgia Tech Colorado game.
Mississippi State plays Southern Miss at noon on ESPN Saturday.
Yeah.
So that's it.
At Hattiesburg.
Yes, at Hattiesburg.
Crazy, man.
Well, I mean, Auburn going to Baylor is a little bit out of the box. Although Auburn has been doing this for years, though, too, when South Carolina – I mean, not South Carolina, USC. Remember when USC was really good?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You maybe had just gotten Alabama is when the Southern Cal came in there and just – I mean, they dog-walked.
Was that Auburn?
I
thought that was Arkansas.
They did it to Auburn, too, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, like, put up a 70 burger on Arkansas in like 06 or 07. And we were like, dear God,
I'm pretty
like,
sure they
what
did
is going
I,
on?
I want to say they did the same thing. And look,
they probably did.
Is it not? I mean, I don't know if you mentioned this, but Alabama at Florida State is a completely off out of the box.
It is.
I never thought I would see.
And look, Wisconsin's coming to Tuscaloosa a couple weeks later.
Yeah, well, but you did that last year. I just don't think I remember Florida State going to Michigan in the early 90s, like maybe like 91 or 92. I think Elvis Gerback was the quarterback of Michigan that year, and it might have been 93. And I just thought that was so out of the box. And then you didn't see it for so long. You saw Florida State at Notre Dame one year, but those were that Florida State, I think when they went to Michigan, they were an actual independent. So it wasn't that big of a deal. It was before they had even joined the ACC. But to see Alabama at Florida State and they're both in conferences is just.
I love it, man. To go back to the Colorado Georgia Tech game, Brent Key on Dukes and Bell yesterday, and one of them asked him about the altitude. Hey, 5,000 feet. Mm-hmm. You know, are you worried about that? And Brent goes, I don't know if you guys have been around, but it's pretty hard to breathe in the humidity of the Southeast as well. So,
I'd be curious to see. We practice in an outdoor facility in Atlanta, where there's a lot of air smog, or whatever you want to call it, and it's 100 degrees. Yeah, save me the crisp, cool air of Boulder, where it's fresh.
Yeah, it'll be funny, man. I'll be
funny.
Curious
I love
to see how
I love
rolls.
Brent Key. Yep. Dude, Brent Key is witty as hell. Like you do not underestimate him.
I will say this too, and this was brought up to me yesterday. Florida's strength conditioning. Florida never seems to be in great shape to start the year. I'll be curious to see what they look
like. Because they're all hurt every year before.
And that kind of goes into it, does it not? But, I mean, like, you look at the game against Utah, things like that. I'm like, dude,
All right, well, yeah, but.
I'm not coming at you. Don't get out with your little gator on your chest
hold on,
and everything.
Hold on. Just check yourself for 30
seconds.
Not a
shot at the Gators. I'm just curious.
You also just picked out, they did beat Utah one year.
Yeah, I know.
In Gainesville. And then they. But also, that was a year, that was Anthony Richardson's year. They beat them. Then they go to Utah, and they're in transition. They don't have many offensive weapons. And it was what was that quarterback's name? He just left. He got hurt last year that put Lagway in. But, I mean, I think you're comparing teams that aren't talented to teams that are talented. I just don't think that Florida team that lost to Utah a couple years ago was very talented. Okay. For Florida standards.
I won't go any further.
I mean, they were 5-7 team.
Well, besides the out-of-the-box Auburn and Baylor game, what's the best game this weekend outside of Texas and Ohio State?
It's LSU at Clemson. I don't think there's nothing that tops LSU at Clemson as far as that's the only game where you have returning starting quarterbacks who are both Heisman Trophy candidates.
Two of the top three, I'd say.
Two of the better coaches in college football, one of which has won multiple national titles, the other which has played for, you know, lost national title games. and they're powerhouses. They're powerhouses in their conferences. So it's LSU at Clemson. I don't think, you know, you could go with, I guess, Notre Dame at Miami, but I don't think it's anywhere close to the LSU Clemson one to start the season where the expectations are for those two teams.
No, and you're right, and you obviously look at the point spread in that one, and you know, it's one of those things where I think it'll be a good game. I think there will be some other sneaky ones that are really good too. I genuinely think Syracuse and Tennessee is going to be a good game. Genuinely think that. I know it's a two touchdown spread. That's a game. You know, week one, you know, neutral site, crazy things happen in games like that. And I'll kind of, you know, I'll keep my eyes peeled for that one as well.
The fact that we get a 3 o'clock game on a Sunday between Va Tech and South Carolina, that's going to be a sneaky good game. Because Virginia Tech's, I mean, they were supposed to be better than they were last year. I don't know what they're going to be this year. I'm admittedly going to tell you, I don't know a lot about Virginia Tech, but I do know that they're going to be ready to go in there. You know, they're going to be hyped up.
Yeah. South Carolina's overrated to me as well, so and we'll get to them throughout the show. Yeah,
I don't agree with that. What I would say is it feels like when teams like South Carolina, where they're your perennial 7-5, 8-5, whatever kind of team, when they're hyped to be a lot better coming off a good year, it's a struggle bus. It seems because they're no longer the guy that's like, hey, I got. You know, you're not expecting me to come at you.
Right.
Everyone's expecting them to come at them.
Yeah.
So.
I will say, I think they probably have some of the freakiest athletes, but the offensive line for them is always where it goes downhill. Hey, Sports Radio 929 The Game is your home of live college football coverage in Atlanta. This Saturday at 8 a.m., we get the day started with college football game time. That's John Fricke, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, and Garrett Chapman will set the stage for all the big matchups. And we have a big week one. Contests all weekend long on 929 The Game with Cincinnati facing Nebraska. That was last night, Thursday at 8:30. Texas at Ohio State, Saturday at 11:30. Notre Dame at Miami, Sunday at 7:30. And North Carolina hosting TCU Monday at 7. That's all this weekend on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
We're going to play a little game called Tailgate Truth or Lie, since we're all about college football this weekend. I'm going to tell you something about a tailgate, a school's tailgate traditions.
Okay. Oh,
you tell me if it's a truth or a lie.
I like this. All right.
All right, and we'll just go back and forth. So, and I don't know how easy or difficult these are, so please don't get upset with me. All right, Bo, we'll start with you. At Ole Miss, their famous tailgate spot is called The Grove, and people literally bring chandeliers and fine china to tailgate.
I mean, I've been there. I don't remember the chandeliers or fine china, but I would 100%. I would bet that's true.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, that they're very uppity in the Grove.
Yeah. That is true.
Yeah,
they bring chandeliers out there.
I'm going to tell you something.
Like a concert at Chastain Park or something.
I know you want to roll through these, so I'm not going to be too long winded. But that is one of the most amazing tailgate experiences you'll ever have. Is the Grove? It is unlike any. I've been to quite a few college places, and that one's like unlike any other.
All right, let's move on to tailgate.
Like layup. This is
truth or lie. Number two, going to Mike. Wisconsin fans literally jump around to House of Pain's jump around at the end of the third quarter at Camp Randall Stadium.
Yeah, so Bama played at Wisconsin last year. I got a chance to check this out on the television. I wish I had gone, but I had multiple friends that made the trip all the way up to Madison. Absolutely true.
That's absolutely true.
It's about a layup.
Yeah.
I mean, that was an easier one than mine. That was much easier.
You've been to the Grove, and I watched the game for Bama last year.
I've actually been a part of the jump around.
Really?
Yeah, my cousin used to play football for Wisconsin.
Nice.
And we went to a game a couple years back. Obviously, he graduated a couple years ago. But we went there, and I mean, man, when you talk about electric, That was electric. I would love one of the coolest experiences ever.
That's awesome.
All right. Tailgate, truth or lie, Bo. Clemson fans stamp $2 bills with a Tiger Paw logo, and then they spend them in rival cities. It's a tradition to show how the impact they have.
I don't know. It sounds something dumb enough that Clemson would do, so I'll say true.
It is true. It's been going on since 1977.
I actually didn't know that one. I've never heard
either.
That.
I didn't either. I really didn't. I thought you were going to ask me if they take a school bus, a bus all the way over to their stadium and then run down a hill.
So my grandma has always done this thing where everybody's birthday, like I'm talking about like, you know, five generations worth, she gives $2 bills instead of like 20s. And so I have a ton of $2 bills. A ton.
Oh, well, you better stamp a tiger on it.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know what else to do with those. Maybe I'll find a Clemson fan and see if I can cash out.
You know what? Stamp an Alabama logo on it and then go spend it in Clemson.
On my way to Charlotte, I'm like, you know what? I'm pulling over. Yeah. I'm doing it.
All right, Mike. Texas A&M fans once tailgated so hard they had to pass a city law banning livestock at tailgates.
I'm gonna go with true on this one because they're just weird enough to do something like that down there. And, you know, obviously it's an agricultural school, so I'm going to say true.
It is a lie.
Ah! Of course you'd give me the first false one.
I'm winning so far, Dylan.
Wow.
Make sure you're keeping score.
Of course.
2-1.
All right, Bo, Michigan State fans
once... You give them all the easy ones.
Michigan State fans once tailgated in a parking garage. They set up a slip and slide and flooded the entire lower level.
Well, I don't know. That sounds like such a false thing, but Michigan State people aren't the brightest, so I'm going to say false.
That's a lie.
Yeah,
it's a lie. All right.
Dang it.
Three, Dylan.
Tailgate truth or lie, Mike. At the University of South Carolina, there's a retired train caboose village called Cockaboose Railroad.
That is true. I know that to be true. I think I watched a special with Darius Rucker on there one time. I was like, what a random place to tailgate. But they get her done over there. It's like their own version of the Fall Navy or whatever. It's like, but it's a train. It's strange. But, you know, whatever works for you, man. I'm all about it.
Bo, West Virginia fans are known to burn couches after big games.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
Was that the whole thing? That was the whole thing? Oh.
Those people, man, I tell you what, they take it seriously. That's four, Dylan. You got 4-2.
I'm just picturing the Big Daddy scene. Hip hop.
All right. Mike, at the University of Florida, before kickoff, everyone locks arms and sings We Are the Boys from Old Florida. It's the last question.
I'm going to say false.
It is false. They do it between the third and fourth quarter.
I knew it.
They do it between the third and fourth quarter, and then now they add
in. I was
going to
say they do now, the Tom Petty thing.
Well, they do that. It used to just be We Are the Boys. Now they sing We Are the Boys, and then they hit I Won't Back Down.
There you go.
Well, we are going to stick with this SEC theme, college football theme. If your favorite SEC coach was going on The Bachelorette, which stereotype would he be? The villain, the hunk, but not bright?
Mike.
You get the picture. We will talk about this. Mike and Bo will pick him out next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.